looking for beavers.
All right.
Oh, I feel like a Power Ranger.
Hey, you see that?
My dick's asleep.
That is exactly what the beavers would want.
And you are back with Beaver Rodeo. And we are your hosts, George and
Jack.
Damn, okay. That was kind of ominous.
I'm unsure about that.
Just trying new things, you know? Like, I at least got the timing right.
Okay.
Did I fuck up still? I felt like that was pretty immediate.
It lingered for a little while.
Fuck. Next time, guys, I swear, I'm going to get this, maybe on the 20th episode. I don't know.
Well, if you heard those extra voices in the background with that special commentary, we are joined today by some gamer friends of ours, Mike and Rachel.
Hello.
And that's because if you've seen recently, there is a new game coming out someday called Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yes.
And all of us are decently big Creed fans. I think that's, let me rephrase that. We are big Assassin's Creed fans. I should say the whole name. Because if you say just Creed, that just sounds like a different situation.
I mean, the movie was pretty good.
I haven't seen it yet.
You know, the first thing that popped into my head was actually the band.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was referencing. Yes, exactly. Oh, okay. I was like, as I said Creed, I was like, wait, not everyone likes the band Creed. So maybe I should say Assassin's Creed.
I went to Michael B. Jordan as Apollo Creed's son.
I did too. So we were pretty split. Like two of us went with music, two of us went with film.
In any case, yes, the game's coming out. And it feels like they're kind of going off of the success right now of Odyssey being a good, I think, revamp to how the game plays and how the story is told, but also the big boom of Viking lore. Like, Vikings are the shit right now. God of War freaking had a huge success with the revamp. Shows like The Last Kingdom and was it Norsemen? I feel like there's another show
called Vikings
on History Channel.
Yeah, the one that literally has it in the title.
It's a pretty big boom right now. And I'm pretty sure even like Thor has something to do with that. You know, everyone loved Ragnarok and everything. So this seems like it's going to be an exciting game. Speaking as someone who loved Assassin's Creed 1 through 3, like this franchise freaking, it reinvigorated gaming for me in kind of a way. But also I got to a point where I kind of fell out of it. And I feel like this game might get me back into it. But before we get any further, where is everyone else when it comes to this franchise? Where did you start? Where did you drop off? Where are you now? Rachel, our newcomer to the show.
Oh, God.
Give us your
My intro to it would have been the year we got the Xbox for Christmas. So that would have been 2011. And that was when Revelations came out. And I remember going and getting all of the games from a resale store. And getting Revelations absolutely brand spanking new. And I numed through those games as fast as I could. I was eating everything up. Man, I have memories of the first game when you have to fight quote unquote Robert Le Sable the first time. And it's actually Maria Thorpe that you're fighting. I fought that battle for like 3 hours straight because she kept beating my ass. And I was just like sobbing in relief when I was done. And then we go to the next bit, which is the actual fight against Robert Le Sable. Immediately, one shot kill, assassination. I screamed. I was laughing so hard. It was like insanity laughter. And I remember my brother coming out of his room being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm just like, I finally did it. I can't believe it. But
200 hours later.
Oh, God, it was horrible. I had to throw the controller and just walk away for a couple of minutes because it was so frustrating. But after that, yeah, it was Assassin's Creed 3. And then I played Black Flag. And then it kind of started doing all those little spinoff games like Liberation and Rogue and all that. And I didn't play many of those, but then it got to Unity and that was when Ubisoft kind of was like, oh, well, we can't have female, you know, multiplayer skins for these guys because it was too difficult. And that's when I was like, okay, fuck Ubisoft. I'm going away for now. Bye. And that was the last game I played was Unity. I've still not actually beaten it. The last thing I remember is climbing to the top of Notre Dame and getting almost to the tippy top and then falling and dying.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, that was frustrating. I haven't touched the game since.
That's always such a painful, like, climbing the tallest building. Because it's fun. There's like, the gratification getting all the way to the top and, you know, just teetering and the eagles are flying around you. And then, but you're almost there, but you just, like, push the wrong button or whatever and you fall and you die. It's just, maddening.
Absolute worst. But, yeah, so that's my history of playing the games. I went and, you know, Assassin's Creed Theory, I was so excited for it. And I went to the midnight release and got it and played the first 3 hours as Haytham. And then the big plot twist happened. And, you know, it's 3 a.m. and my parents are asleep and I'm in the basement. And I'm like, trying to be silent and screaming. But yeah, I've always been a history nerd. So this is a series of games that really hits close to my heart as just someone who absolutely adores the idea of alternate history. And then the whole, you know, the tyranny of King Washington and having that whole alternate thing going on. That was something I was just salivating over. Man. But yeah, it's the history of the games that gets me.
Yes. And that's something that probably what got me into it personally, too, all the way from part one. I love the depth that this series went into to trying to be kind of accurate with most things, but then also playing with it, kind of giving like, well, what if this is what actually happened? Since we never actually know 100% of history, there's always something lost in translation. So it's really nice how they always play with that. For people who are history buffs, it makes you want to research. Like I know I did loads of research when I played through the Ezio series. Like, I just, like, I wanted to learn so much more. Like, I thought I knew stuff. It's like, I didn't know anything. I gotta know more. Like, I gotta read books. It's like, it made me want to read books. But, how about you, Mike?
I played the first one with Altair, then the Ezio, and I finished with Connor. So Assassin's Creed 3 was the last one that I physically purchased. I played some of the other ones, like, here and there. A friend had it. But I didn't even finish 3. I just kind of got the gameplay didn't really change that much from the original to 3 for me. So I got kind of bored with it. The stories were great, but it also started going more towards around that time, more of the real world instead of the historical aspects of it. You were controlling more of Desmond more than Desmond you Miles. Were the assassins. Yeah. And I just got a little disenfranchised with it there. But then saw the trailer for Valhalla, and I mean the Norse mythology is great, and that entire aspect of history is fantastic, and that got me back into like, oh, maybe I want to jump back into it.
It's funny that you bring that up, the thing with part 3, how you got to use more Desmond in the real world. For me, I felt like the game was always leading up to that, and I got really excited about that. And when every game that followed didn't fulfill that need to be more into the present, more into the future, I felt like I was done because I wanted more of the real world assassins. Because imagine like having to scale a modern day skyscraper and then having to do a fucking eagle dive off of that thing. What are you diving into? Like, I can't even imagine it. Like, I couldn't wait to see what that world would look like. Having hidden blades that maybe were lasers or something. Like, I want like the most craziest shit.
Yeah, no, I mean, that definitely would. I mean, clearly that's where it was supposed to go. But like with a lot of with the Desmond stuff, it didn't do a really good job explaining the connection. Like, it felt rushed. And then when you were controlling him, like, yeah, he had all these memories and it wasn't the same. It was more like hitman oriented, like sneaking around through the Templar or the whatever. It's been a while since I played the offices
Abstergo
around there. And I was never a big hitman fan. So like that, like sneaking around and trying to escape without fighting, I was just kind of like, this is boring.
I feel that. I get it. I think for me, like it was just, I do agree. I think as a part 3 is when they actually finally wrap up Desmond's story. I feel like that was, I do feel like that was kind of half-assed. That ending kind of sucked. His ending in particular. I don't know, the pacing just felt off. But I agree with George. Like, I love that aspect, being able... There's a part where you see Desmond, you're climbing up a crane, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at night, and then you just dive. And it's just seeing the connection from, like, what you're doing in the past to the real world. And that solving all those puzzles, those truth puzzles, that's actually what got me into it. I was watching George play part one and finding all those, like, glitches in the Animus, and then finding... all those little puzzles that you have to solve, and then the little videos that you get to see, those video clips. That's mm-hmm. what got me into it. I was like, okay, I want to play this too. So I stopped watching him play so I wouldn't spoil myself, because if I see someone play a game that I haven't played yet, I have no desire to play it because I already know what happens. So I just, like, exiled myself.
That's probably why I still haven't finished Kingdom Hearts 1 in, like, 20 years, considering I watched my brother beat it.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, there's definitely this motivation killer when that happens. I mean, that happened with me to, like, I think Final Fantasy IX. My mom got me that for Christmas, and I got to, like, disc 3, and I was about to finish disc 3, and then I saw my brother beat disc 4, and I was like, okay, I'm
doing it. You're right there. No. You're like, what, 80% of the way there? I hate that.
Yeah, I was like, whatever. There's no mystery now. But yeah, bringing up the truth, that's, like, a big thing in my notes, is the truth puzzles for me was a huge part. Like, part one, like, when you use it retroactively, when you think back of how part one plays comparatively to everything else in the series, and just how everything about it, like, it's pretty...
It's rough.
It sucks.
I'm trying to think of an elegant word here, but yeah, it's hard to go
it's
back
so
to that
blue.
Game.
It hurts my eyes. The color palette is so blue, and it's just like,
it was very blue.
It's just the same mission over and over again. It's just like there's no depth and complexity to it, really. But it did give you new things that we didn't have. Like, it was visually cool at that time. Like, I can look back at that trailer and I was like, that's still a dope-ass trailer. Like, that's really badass for just, like, what, Xbox 360 and PS3, I think, at that time. You know, and it's like, this was the next gen. This is it. This is what we're going into for the future. And it looked cool. The concepts were really cool. Again, like what you said, Rachel, the history, like, playing on historical areas and everything was really, really nice. Like, everything looked like what I would imagine would have looked like back then. But the thing that really intrigued me was, like, when you beat the game and then you're Desmond Miles and you're like, I beat the game. What's happening now? Why am I able to walk around in my cell pretty much? And all of a sudden you use the Eagle Vision and you see that wall and everything that I think it was subject 15 or 16, 13,
I think.
Something like that. So, like, everything that he left behind, it's like, holy shit, that there's so much more. And then you find out that those things actually lead to something. They mean something. It's like, well, I got to keep on playing this franchise now. Like, I'd have to know the truth. I must know. And that moment when you finally uncover, like, the full video clip of seeing what the first people, the first assassins, whatever, and what you suspect to be actually Adam and Eve running through this building and this futuristic but also ancient world. It's like, well, this is dope as hell. Like, I got to know more about that. Like, that for me, that was the big thing. Like, I have to know more about that. Playing through history was just a means to an ends of learning about this other world and this other culture and civilization of people that I feel like after 3, it just fell to the wayside. Like, the truth didn't mean anything anymore, because now it's just like, well, let's just go to another place in history and just do that. And whatever happens with Abstergo and the modern day assassins, it'll just be whatever. It's a whisper in the wind. And I think that's, for me, that, like, besides also that I hated the gameplay for part 3. But, like, once that stuff kind of went in the sidelines, I was like, well, you're not giving me what I want anymore. So I guess I don't have to play this game now. And it made me kind of sad because I got Jen into it. Mm-hmm. I was so pumped about that series. I was like, I took Jen, you got to play this game. Like, this is the coolest
and
shit
I
ever.
I said, okay. And I kept playing it because I played all of them. Actually, the only one I haven't played is, what, Rogue and Chronicles? That's the one in China.
Is that the Altair's Chronicles one? Because that's on the DS, I think. And I know I played that one.
Yeah, like, I haven't played any of the portable ones except for...
It's kind of a weird side-scroller.
Yeah.
I still have it.
I played Liberation they released with something else.
Yeah, that's on the Xbox 360. It's not it's not just on, like, the Vita or a mobile thing anymore.
Yeah. They re-released that on some console, so I was able to play that. But otherwise, the only ones I've missed was Rogue and whatever handheld ones.
Yeah, because out of the four of us, you've stayed decently steady to the franchise, at least console-wise. Because you actually beat Unity
Syndicate was it next.
Syndicate and Odyssey, Origin.
Yeah. I am caught up.
Not me.
I was going to say, after this, I'm probably going to have to go out and at least get Syndicate, Odyssey, and Origins at some point. Because Origins, I really was interested in. And I was going to get it for Christmas, and then I just kind of fell by the wayside because I got something else that came out the same year.
It happens. Yeah, Origin I got. Yeah, there was actually kind of a delay, like after part three, because I would get them pretty much. I stopped going to midnight releases because I'm an old lady, but past my curfew. Mm-hmm. But I would get them like, you know, the next day or as soon as I was able to, and then play them like right away.
I mean, we used to buy like all the
we bought extra stuff too. Hidden Blade.
We went to midnight just for the Hidden Blades and the canes. We had all the Hidden Blades.
Nerds.
You beat me to it by half a second.
So my question to you, Jen, is like, so all of us had a dropping point, or at least the three of us.
Yeah.
But you stuck with it. What made you stay within this series?
Just overall gameplay and the story. There's something about sneaking around and stabbing people that's apparently really appealing to me. And you know, the hood's just aesthetically pleasing. Like, it's just, it feeds into what I like. And then, you know, I do grow to like the character you play. I am disappointed about, you know, the modern day stuff not being as, I guess, as intriguing as it was in the beginning. It definitely falls flat, especially like now they're trying to pick it up because you actually play a character in the modern world. You play Layla, but before you're playing in the modern world, I think for like, was it Black Flag? I don't remember, but it's first person when you're in the modern.
Yeah, Black Flag, where you were
Black Flag started that Abstergo first person
employee.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just going through the motions or whatever, but the little bits that they put in with Black Flag with Juno and like hacking into the system and like giving you weird messages and emails and stuff like that still kept me somewhat intrigued because I think it's come to the point where I've invested so much time into it that I just, you know, just keep going with it.
I get that. It's kind of how I felt, I think, when I was in the Halo series. There wasn't a great story, but it's like, well, I've already played four of these. I gotta keep on going, right?
It's like me with Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, gameplay is good enough. And then, you know, visually, it's always been, they always do a good job with graphics. Those cinematic trailers that we were talking about, they always knock it out of the park.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that always keeps on, I think, intriguing me to want to get back into it. I played the first, I don't know, mission or two of Syndicate because I remember seeing the trailer. I was like, okay, I'm coming back. I got to come back to this. But then like, I don't know why, I just stopped playing. And Origins, I don't even know why I didn't give it a try at all. I think it was just like, why? I know I don't want to be in this anymore. But then when I saw Odyssey, I was like,
Odyssey, I like the new 300.
And
you can just Spartan kick your way through the whole game. There's something really gratifying about sneaking into like a Templar camp. And then you see that guard that's just like hanging out at the edge of the cliff, just watching fucking nothing. And then sneaking up and just fucking kicking him off the cliff. That's a good time, guys.
Have you ever yelled in the room that you're playing, "This is Sparta," when you did that?
I don't remember. Did I? I guess I gotta rectify that situation. I thought about it actually playing before we recorded, just for like a little bit, just for a while of it. But yeah.
I mean, it would add to the recording right now if we heard like some Assassin's Creed stuff in the background.
I mean, you're mostly, what, you just need what, eagle sounds? And like a, right?
Yeah.
And the diving into a haystack sound.
See, for me, something that I always have as an iconic Assassin's Creed thing is, I think it's probably part one, is whenever something would happen, you do something within the town, and they're like, "What the fool are you doing?"
You still do that occasionally, like when some dumb shit happens, you're just like, "What the fool?"
Yeah, because it's stuck in my, like, that's one of those like little things about the games. Like, I think all of them kind of had this, the community, like the NPC characters. Yeah, like all of them, like how they would interact with you. I always loved, where it's like they actually pay attention to what you're doing. So if you climbed a wall, you're like, what is up with him? Why is he doing that? You know, it's like this in real life, that would be weird if you mm-hmm. climbed a building. And it's like, I'm glad that they realized that and they take note of it. It's like, he can get hurt if he does that. He's going to fall.
Walk into the people that are carrying crates and boxes and they drop their boxes and they get mad. My favorite thing.
Well, for those who don't know, Jen also is causing destruction in her video games. If Jen can break something, and I mean anything, in a game, about 70% of her gameplay is now taken into that direction.
Took her where so she's long like, well, if I can break all these pots. Final Fantasy VII remake. The epic piles of tables and chairs.
Oh, yeah. That bike. There's a bike that I pushed around. As soon as you get like past like the first mission where you know you're in the reactor and it blows up and then you get control of Cloud again and you're in the city and you're just going to your next mission point or whatever, it's pretty linear. But I found a bike and I pushed it everywhere. Upstairs. It took me like an hour to get somewhere that should have taken me like 5 seconds because I was just really dedicated to pushing this bike around.
And then you hit like a ladder or something, right?
Yeah, and I was like, goodbye, bicycle. I was so sad.
Have you guys played Destiny?
Yes. So, well, you know, we have.
I'm the only person here who has not played Destiny.
So when you go to the tower, it's what you get like 20 other people in there because everything's connected online. And then they'll go into the computers, like to look at their weapons and armor. There was a point in time where literally about 2 hours of playing the game, me and Jose would just wait for people to go on the computer and then push them all around the area. When they got out of it, they were in a completely different area.
Chaos.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it takes a while too, because you're just like gently nudging them. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just like running by them. So it just takes 20 minutes.
I don't know if that's a testament to how good a game can be, but I feel like the games that you love the most always have stupid little shit like that for you. Where it's like you mentioned climbing, Jen, like climbing a building. How many things didn't we try to look for? It's like, well, if I can climb this building.
Well, yeah, because you always have to, there's the side achievements or whatever, or trophies where you have to find, like in the first one, you had to find like 200 flags or something stupid like that per map.
Oh,
or the
God.
Eagle feathers.
I hated that. That was one of those achievements where it's like, fuck
the eagle
this.
Feathers for poor Ezio's brother.
Oh my God. Intense. You know, it's like, oh, well, this is climbable, so there's probably a feather up there. Mike's like, I'm not climbing shit.
Yeah.
climbing shit was fun. I mean, even like going into the climbing shit this in Spider-Man PS4. Because they had the achievement for when you do the bullet fall or whatever, like when you just go as fast as you can, how far or how long you can do that before you have to swing. So you're trying to wait to the last possible minute before you hit the ground to go off so you don't kill the character.
It's like, oh no, off second.
Yeah, that definitely was actually reminiscent of like Assassin's Creed. I remember having to climb freaking was Avengers Tower over and over again, trying to get to the tippy
top. You're playing chicken with the ground, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no straw pile at the bottom.
No.
Nope.
Not for Spidey, no.
Would it just be like if it was Assassin's Creed in the Spider-Man world, would it just be like a shopping cart with trash bags in them? Is that what you would dive into? Right.
Dumpsters. Well, I guess, dumpsters, right? Dumpsters would be your haystack.
Or like that one truck that moves around that has like 40 mattresses piled on it.
Yeah. Well, I guess if where we live, like in California, it would probably be like the Mexican transporting like empty bottles.
But you don't want to dive into
like the recycling
bottles.
Area. That would be our thing. Well, no, they're plastic bottles, not glass bottles.
It'd make a funny sound at the very least.
What would you rather? Would you rather fall into wood?
No, I don't want to fall. I don't want to die, guys.
Well, that's why you're not. That's why you're not an assassin.
In Illinois, it'd be combines or like things that have the transport trucks that have corn in them.
See, that works. I'll dive into.
Oh, there
corn.
We go.
Like on the cob or the kernels.
All right. Yeah, no, I was going to think about this. I was
Illinois,
like, we have
harvested. It, the harvesters are able to get the little bits of corn off of the cob.
So it's just,
and that's how it's transported to be put into silos.
Okay. So it's like, so it's the kernels. Okay.
Okay.
That's, yes, the kernel.
That, that will be a much softer landing than landing in the full cob.
Oh, yeah.
It's just cobs. I'm just like, immediate regret.
Just landed there. It's like, so why are you here? I got impaled by corn.
This is gonna derail us even that further, movie. But I couldn't help but just think of like the
shoot them up.
You know what I'm talking about, right, Jen? Yeah, we fucking death by carrot. If no one's seen Shoot 'Em Up, it is a gem from Clive Owen.
I feel like
it's a movie that does not get talked about enough.
Oh, absolutely.
It's pure ridiculousness, but it's a good time. Like, there is a scene where, like, because he eats carrots through the movie, Clive Owen's character, and he actually like impales a guy in the eye, I believe, with a carrot.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, imagine having to be that guy, that henchman. Like, if there's an afterlife, he goes to hell and it's just like, so how'd you get taken out? And he's just there with a carrot in his face, like, I don't want to talk about it.
It was an allergic reaction. Because I was stabbed.
Yeah, I also don't react very well when I get stabbed in the face.
I do have an allergy to death.
It's pretty severe, too. There's no coming back from it.
Would you say it's a lethal allergy?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The EpiPen is just never enough. But anyways.
Diving back into the Creed of Assassins, we're all pretty excited, I think, for this new one that's coming out. What is getting you super pumped about it, and what are you hoping happens with this new game? Mike,
I really like Norse mythology. Like, the Viking aspect culture is fascinating, and I mean, God of War was fantastic, and I really hope they do another one, because I really, really want Kratos to go one-on-one with Thor. That would be fucking great. But who knows if that's going to happen, so this is the next best thing. I mean, I haven't played again since the third one, so I'm not getting drawn back into it because of the Assassin's Creed aura. I'm getting drawn back into it because of the era that they're portraying. So that's what I'm excited for, is just running around as a Viking in a longbow and pillaging villages.
Okay. How about you, Rach?
For me personally, that era in history is, had I ever gone on to do postgraduate work, that is the era of history I would have studied, particularly between England and Ireland. But considering how prevalent Viking society was in that time period in both countries, my studies would have definitely gotten involved there somehow. But yeah, the history, the mythology, the different people and the places, like, these are all things that I've always been very familiar with, because being a history nerd and being able to play around in that time period, especially when a good majority of the history we have is taken from the perspective of the English or of the invaded peoples, whereas this time we're going to be focusing on the perspective of a Viking that is being the invader, and getting an alternative view of the history when the English were not very happy about the Vikings. And so, you know, the potentiality that we're going to see a sympathetic view of the Vikings rather than all they do is rape and pillage and burn and all that. And getting to see, you know, the community building is another thing that I'm really excited about, because the other part of knowledge that we have about that time period is just archaeology. And, you know, we just don't know a lot. So there's a lot of gray areas that can be filled in with, what about this happening? You know, that type of thing.
That's a good point. I do respect the point of view that they're portraying this from, so I would like to see how that plays out as well.
Yeah, I think, like, we brought up some stuff earlier of how there is a lot of Viking lore and Norse mythology and stuff that's been popping up a lot within our culture, pop culture. And, like, we just binged through that show, The Last Kingdom. And it felt really relevant to, like, this game, because when you see the trailer for this, there's the king or whoever who's talking about them, and he's talking about them in such a bad light of, like you just said, they rape and pillage. But then when you see them, they're with their families, and, like, they're sparing women and children because they don't want to kill everybody. And that show really kind of shows that side. It's like, yeah, they're doing some bad things, but they have a culture and an honor system to their people, and they do care. Like, they care thoroughly about their people so much that they don't want to do wrong by anyone, and they want to make sure that they can do their best to protect everybody. And I like you said, like, I agree. Like, I can't wait to see that side of things. I think that's something that Assassin's Creed probably has done well through most of their games, is always showing you both sides of the coin. You know, Abstergo, for instance, is quote unquote the bad guy, but they do try to show you, it's like, yeah, they're the bad guy because you're the good guy. But on their side of the spectrum, it's like, well, they are trying to do something good for their world, what they believe is good for their world. So it's going to be nice to see them play that kind of thing with the Vikings and see them try to do good for their side of the story. Plus, I mean, like, for me personally, I love any kind of mythology. Like, I'm big on mythology history, whether it's like Egyptians, Greek, Roman, and the Norse. Anything that's like otherworldly is always so cool. Like, I love hearing the stories of what they believe in. So, like, to see how an idea of Odin can play with the gods that we know within the Assassin's Creed world. Like, we've already played with the thought of like Minerva, Juno,
and
forgetting like another one that they had pop up within the story. Yeah. You know, that they always play with the idea of gods. So I'd like to see how that gets put into the fold of everything, you know, because he sees quote unquote Odin on the battlefield. But it's like, but is that Odin, or is that just like the spirit of another assassin? Like, I actually saw today a video that said that there's a possibility that Altair could be tied to this
game. That would be interesting, especially because, well, the time period difference between Valhalla and Assassin's Creed 1 is a pretty big distance in time. Because from what I've read, this game starts in like the 850s. And it's the Third Crusade. That doesn't happen until like 1100s, 1200s. So that's a good 300 years-ish of difference in time that we're talking about here. So if Altair does potentially get involved, that would be an interesting concept to see how they're going to tie those two together.
Yeah, like, I think it has to be obviously something to do with the apple or a piece of Eden, because that's always been the connection between each character. The only way they're able to like cut through time is with that. You know, because that's the thing with those pieces. It's like time is almost irrelevant, because you have this black hole of sorts or whatever, where you can come through and out, and nothing, all rules mean nothing. You know, it's kind of like the Assassin's Creed motto. Nothing is true, all things are permitted, something like that. So I feel like they kind of play with that motto within their timelines, where everyone is connected in some way or another. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, I'm kind of, granted, Altair's never been like the most charismatic of characters that you are excited to see. You know, it's like if it was Ezio, that's like, yeah, all right, I'm excited.
Speaking of issues with Altair, I think my biggest problem with Altair's character in the first game, every other character in the game has an accent. Yeah. Every other character has an Arabic accent or a French accent or an English accent. And he sounds like a freaking American. And I'm like, really? Yeah. Really? Please?
Yeah.
Also, no subtitles. That was another issue.
Like, the worst American of all. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was glad they fixed that by Revelations. I was glad that they gave him his full name. Yeah. And he had a proper voice. Rectify
that. But I think all of us were already too jaded by that. And we're like, no, this isn't who you are.
Especially when we'd had Ezio by that point, and he was, you know, I'm an Italian and I'm charismatic and I like to fuck girls and blah, 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 blah. That kind of thing that we were dealing with for two games already.
Yeah.
So it was just like, all right, we're already all in love with Ezio. Altair, who? But Revelations did at least fix a little bit of the problems with Altair's character and made him, you know, he calmed down. He's older, he's wiser, he's got a family, you know, and I do remember at the end of Revelations just absolutely sobbing.
Ezio had like the saddest life.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like I felt for both of them at that point, which was a good thing. So in my opinion, I do feel like they fixed Altair's character quite a lot. But the disservice to him in the first game is just rough.
Yeah. And I think that's what's really interesting how the game plays out, especially trying to, with how, you know, I've gotten used to calling them Isu, because that's what the later games call them now, but the ones that came before, those gods, and then, you know, they're talking through Ezio to talk to the modern person, like, you know what I mean? They're just, it's those layers of cryptic messages and how it just all intertwines. Because you get a lot, you get that back in Odyssey. There's a god that you meet, you see her talking through Cassandra or Alexios, whoever you use, to talk to the modern person. Or, and there's parts where, like, the modern person is watching everything unfold and she's seeing the god and she's like, now she's talking to Cassandra or Alexios. It's so weirdly complicated that, and that's what keeps me going.
Something that we haven't brought up, which is something I'm curious to see happen in this game, is there's, with this historical events that we play through, there's always someone from history that's real that we get to interact with. You know, with Ezio's story, we had Leonardo da Vinci. You know, we've had, was it Thomas Edison? Was it Edison or Sir Conan Doyle?
But I think Conan Doyle was involved in Syndicate because I remember reading about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's always somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think you had in Odyssey, wasn't it?
Like,
with
that, there's actually a few like philosophers. You like, you need right. Sophocles. And
do you hate math too?
Math sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck math. And he was an asshole too. You'll, if you play it, you'll see.
I have never once used A squared plus B squared equals C squared in my life.
All right, you're getting a little too vulgar, so you're gonna have to calm down with the math talk right now. All right, we're not that kind of show.
I don't even remember using the quadratic formula after sophomore year. My first thought was the there was someone in one of our Discord servers was talking about committing seppuku, but spelled it wrong.
And they were like, Sudoku?
And said committing Sudoku. And I was like, yeah, that's what I feel like every time I want to do math. Every time math happens is committing Sudoku.
I mean, I do like Sudoku.
I do too, actually.
Sudoku, like, the only time I've ever enjoyed it, quote unquote, was in Mass Effect Andromeda doing those puzzles.
Yeah.
That's the only time I've ever done Sudoku in my life. Otherwise, I'm just
video game format.
Voluntarily not doing it. Nope.
That reminds me of, Rachel, you have to tell the story of how you calculated the weight of Titan's ball.
Oh wait, you're the friend who did that? Okay.
It was just ratio math. That was the only time I've ever voluntarily done math in a long time. Oh god, I forgot about that.
I didn't even know who you were at first, but that was like the first post I saw of yours, and I was like, this person's cool. She made math cool. So
it was I don't remember who was talking about it. This was back in the Insomnia's Tits server. which I don't think you were part of.
No, I wasn't.
So someone brought up the question of like how big Titan's balls were. Because he's enormous. And so I was like, well, we finally have the bestiary in there, so we know exactly how much he weighs. And so in my Google searches on my work laptop, I had to Google, you know, average weight of a human male's testicle, which is about like half a pound.
Okay.
Like that. Or like, I don't remember. It's been a while. And so basically I took the average weight of a human male. It's like 165, 170 pounds over, you know, the weight of their testicles, and then took Titan's weight and put the, you know, X for his weight of his testicles, and it just did ratio. And it's like it was like 2,000 tons or something. I don't remember. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was some obscene number. Just to clarify, we're talking about there's in Final Fantasy 15, there's one of the summons that you fight and you encounter is a Titan. He's exactly that. He's a giant naked looking man that holds a comet. And in the BCRH tells you how much he weighs, and that's what Rachel figured out for the fandom. You did us all a service because that was information we absolutely needed to have.
It must have been Rev. It must have been Rev or
I feel like somebody had I think when I saw it, it was on like a confessions blog.
Sabrina's confessions blog that she posted it. But I think it was Rev who asked.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Did somebody dare you to figure this out?
No, the sad part is I have ADHD, and so sometimes my impulsive nature gets the better of me, and that usually involves curiosity in a morbid sense. So, yeah, I worked it out by hand on a piece of paper while I was at work that night.
You just looked at this character like, he has massive falls. How much do they weigh?
It was somebody else who asked it first. They asked it as a theoretical, and I was like,
"So you became the hero that Gotham needed, and you solved the equation and gave us the answer we all were, all of us were burning to know."
Oh man, I completely forgot about that.
I will never forget. I forget a lot of things, but that's not one of the things I'll ever forget. Good time.
That was a big divergence.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think the weirdest math problem that I've ever been a part of is
okay.
it was a huge thing in the Too High Flat chat where we were trying to figure out what the likelihood of you being one of the people snapped by Thanos was.
Oh man!
Yeah,
I've never seen this conversation.
For a while, okay. Trying to figure out the statistical percentage of being snapped
out of existence. Oh my god!
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but
I would say that is also very valid nerd math.
Yeah, that's good information to know.
And that's how I end up stuck in those kind of YouTube videos. That's your answer, Jen.
You know how much I don't like math. On my social media, you can block out certain words and blacklist words. That's one of the words I don't have that's on those lists. So right next to Trump is geometry, algebra, math. On my list of things that I don't want to see on my feed.
Oh my god.
But yeah, Assassin's. Oh.
I think I was talking about real life historical figures that end up in Assassin's Creed games. Who is someone that we should or would expect to see in this
list.
Game? Is
what I'm
wondering. Let's hear it. Rachel has been preparing for this podcast, by the way, guys. She wrote a 20-page dissertation on this.
It's not 20 pages. It's like 1.5 page notes.
But it's single spaced, not double spaced, and instead of using 12-point font, it's only 3.5.
11-point font, thank you very much. But yeah, a lot of the characters potentially are going to have very similar sounding names, especially if you've ever watched The Last Kingdom. They all have that A-E sound at the very beginning, so you've got the king who's talking. He's the one that's known as Alfred the Great. He is the one who really began the whole unification process of England as a country, because during that time period, England was not obviously one country. It was 4 separate kingdoms, and that would have been East Anglia, Mercia, Northumbria, and Wessex. And then you've also got Wales, and you got Cornwallum, and then you got Scotland. And those are all kind of different separate areas. So yeah, Alfred the Great is being painted as the potential main villain for the game. And so then you've got, the rest of his family. He's got his nephew, Ethelwold, and he's got his son, who is one of the Edwards. He's got his daughter, who became Queen of Mercia, Ethelfled. And so they both got that sound to the front. Oh, God,
there were so many Ethels.
I can't even remember the name of Ethelfled's husband, because it's like so similar to Ethelwold.
I think he's Ethelred.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you've got Guthrum, who was in the first season. He was the guy that was the main leader of all the Vikings, and he was the one who got baptized. So he got baptized as Ethelstan. And it's like, oh, God, really? Another Ethel? There's a lot of those people that are probably going to be prominent on the Anglo-Saxon side. Like I mentioned, Guthrum is potentially going to be a big figure in the beginning of Valhalla, because he was the king of the Danish Vikings. And then you had the guy named Ubba, who was the kind of oddball blonde guy that was obsessed with his wizard story. He wouldn't do anything without him. So he was a potentially big figure. And then you've got the thing with Assassin's Creed that's always been great is the fact that they've kind of allowed for mythological figures to take place. And so if you've ever watched the Vikings TV show, and you've got the main character is Ragnar Lothbrok. Based off of what I've read, Ragnar Lothbrok wasn't really one person. He was kind of an amalgamation. He's kind of like I'm trying to think of a good analogy for him, because he was basically this giant mythological figure to the Norse people that was kind of taking traits of all a whole bunch of different Vikings from the same time period. I can't really think of any kind of similar characters to him, but he was supposedly the father of like people like Ivar the Boneless and Halfdan Ragnarsson, Bjorn Ironside, Ubba, and then Sigurd Snake in the Eye. And this is the list of names that I've come up with. And these guys were the leaders of the first great heathen army, which that was the exact time period where the game's starting to take place. So we're probably going to come across a handful of these people as well.
I like that. So that means a lot of the stuff that I saw on the show has
based off of what historically I've looked accurate at, things. And Bernard Cromwell, who wrote the original books called the Saxon Stories, he is actually directly descended from Uhtred, who is the main character in that show. He took creative license in the fact that Uhtred the Brave, or whatever he's called in history, he was actually born about 100 years after the events of the show take place. He was much later in history than the rest of the contemporaries, but he just kind of wanted to put him in there and just be like, yeah, it's like we need someone to be a protagonist. We need someone to get involved in these events. And it's actually one of his direct ancestors.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I should watch Vikings.
That's so cool.
Vikings is good, in my opinion, for if you want a good viewing of the mythology and the culture of the Vikings. The Last Kingdom is the show you want to watch if you want to see a little bit of both sides, a little bit of it's more heavily weighted towards the Anglo-Saxons, the British, and their side of the story. But it is, in my opinion, based off of the research that the Saxon Stories goes into, it is the more historically accurate of the two.
Last Kingdom.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because History Channel's Vikings is a bit more meant to entertain, but there's been a lot of backlash and criticism by historians for some of the accuracy in the show, which is a lot different from the reception that The Last Kingdom has gotten.
Okay. Now, how historically accurate is Norseman?
I watched the first episode of that last night, and I was physically uncomfortable watching it. It was not fun for me. Oh no!
So it was so good that you were just like, "I'm sick. I'm sick with how accurate they are."
I did a little research and I looked into it, and one of the critics said that it was Monty Python meets Game of Thrones, and I was like, "Okay, this sounds interesting because I love Monty Python." But like watching it, there was this whole gag of this one guy challenges the other guy to a fight, and the second guy is this weakling little guy who has a lot of property, but the guy who challenged him is a big strong guy who has nothing. And so the winner of the fight takes the property. So the little weakling guy goes to a stranger in the woods that'll sell him some poison so that he can defeat the big strong guy. And there's this whole gag and there's this whole lot of talking and this, that, and the other thing. And then 1, 2, 3, they say to fight. And then the big strong guy literally cleaves the weakling in half and then proceeds to turn around, weirdly make out with the dead guy's wife. And I mean, like, the weird tonguing and while groping her. And it was physically uncomfortable for me to watch. And I was like, nope, no more. Can't do it.
All right, we're going to watch Vikings.
I mean, I feel like Vikings has been on my list of things to want to watch for a while now.
I would say at the very least,
it's one of those shows. I don't know why we stopped.
Norseman
we
didn't watch a try. It. But it was just not for me.
Oh, no, I really like that show. I just finished binging it.
Yeah, I think one of our coworkers had actually pitched it exactly the way you just said, Rachel. It's like the Monty Python Game of Thrones thing.
It had me sold like, until I watched it. And I was just like, yeah, I don't like this. And I'm watching Vikings now. But yeah, I would say if you're curious, and it is made by people from Norway. So they definitely have a different point of view.
Mm.
Whereas, you know, Vikings and The Last Kingdom are heavily predominantly British cast, but there are other members of the cast that are definitely Danish and Norwegian and Swedish.
Yeah, they seem to have had a nice, versatile group of people.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like, okay,
and at the very English, least, boom, if anybody is curious about The Last Kingdom, I'd recommend it, if only for the character Knut, who is the voice of the male Ivor in the game.
All right.
So you can at least, you can at least get a little bit of who he is as an actor.
He's one of the two red-haired people in
He's the red-haired one that ended up with Brita, that was the one who pushed Ethel Wold into killing Ragnar Ragnarsson. Spoilers.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it,
there's a lot of death. Don't get attached to any of the characters in The Last Kingdom because you're going to be fucked.
Yeah, pretty much. There's a lot of death and war.
So, like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, except I think treated a lot better. Yeah, no dragons.
No dragons.
Yeah, they were missing
some
dragons.
There's also not a lot of focus on the mythology in The Last Kingdom. It's very much about the people.
Yeah, it was definitely more, the boon was on the side of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they talk about paganism a lot, but obviously in a negative light. But you don't really get to get the good stuff.
Yeah, Vikings is a bit better about explaining, you know, more about the gods. Especially because Ragnar, he claims to be descended from Odin. He has that connection to him.
Okay.
The weird thing is, though, with Last Kingdom, they do reference a lot of magic, though. Like, magic is very, I'd say, heavily used from the Viking side of things. Like, they have people who are straight up using stuff, and it seems kind of real in this world that they've created. It's like, there's never someone who really nullifies it. It's like, oh, well, I can explain how come they were able to predict this or how they were able to do this. It's like, oh no, this person had a prediction, it came true. It's like, all right, that's real magic. So you'd figure they would actually have played on the sense of the gods a lot more, but for some reason it just got ignored.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that in Valhalla, they're going to probably involve the gods, at the very least in the whole connection to the Iso. Is that how it's pronounced?
Isu.
So there's probably going to be a connection there. But I do remember the creators also talking about how God of War came out. And there was that huge, the God of War's focus being entirely on the mythology of Norse people. Whereas they're going to involve it in Valhalla, but it's going to be a bit more toned down than it was in God of War, which I think is a pretty good choice because they don't want to copy it, basically.
Right.
But yeah, one of the things is I am personally a pagan. I am also a witch. And so there are still people out there, even in rural bumfuck Illinois, that actually do continue to practice Norse paganology and mythology. And I've met a handful of them, and they are some of the most wonderful people I have ever met. Like, they're so welcoming. But also, one of the issues with Norse paganology and that type of thing is that, and I'm going to get controversial here for a second, is that neo-Nazis have taken a lot of Norse culture and paganology and put it towards their white supremacy agenda, which is something that you kind of have to keep an eye out for. And hopefully the Assassin's Creed team is also taking steps to make sure that they're not pandering to that crowd as well.
I imagine they won't, too, because so you guys haven't played Origin or Odyssey, but those are the two games where they've actually really introduced more fantastical things. Like, we haven't had that really up until this point, because then, you know, you fight a Sphinx, you fight Sea Medusa, and, you know, a Cyclops, you fight all these things that don't exist in the real world or what you would know of. And the way the game addresses those topics is, I don't know how to explain it, but like, there's more of like a scientific or like technological explanation to it. So like in Odyssey, there's four mythological creatures that you fight. There's a Sphinx, there's a Cyclops,
there's a Minotaur.
Yeah, there's a Minotaur and Medusa, and God, the Medusa fight is horrible. So if you play it, be warned. It took me like an hour to fight her. She's just the fucking worst. but they're actually just guardians, and they, each of one of them has an ancient artifact that you use to unlock the gates of Atlantis. So they're basically like machinations. I feel like they might be going in that route. It's not really like a religious thing or a cultural thing. It's just that's what the time has created it to become. That's what, you know, humanity has interpreted it as. But how the game has usually been presenting it, it's more like these are just AI almost.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of feel like they'll probably play with Valhalla with that sense of like Valhalla for us in this world is like a heaven of sorts for warriors or, and just the people of that culture. While in this game, it might be just like what you said, it might be more of an AI world where those things live. Because that's didn't you even at one point within Odyssey go to
Hades? You're down in the underworld and then
right
the heaven. There's a word for it. I can't even. Elysium or something? I don't remember.
Yeah, Elysium, I think.
Yeah, you go there. You go...
It might be more of a Roman term, though, than a Greek term.
Yeah. And you go to Atlantis, and you actually interact with Hades and Poseidon. I feel like I don't want to spoil it for you guys, because I really want you guys to play it, so I don't want to say too much. But if you like mythology, I do recommend you guys try Origin and Odyssey out, because it's heavily implied. And also, you get more history, because Origin is the origin story of the Assassins, like how that began. And then Odyssey is actually more of how the Templar Order began. So you get, and it's actually very interesting because they're not the Templar Order yet. They're just, they call themselves the Order of the Ancients. And so when you uncover who that leader is, they actually give you some insight as to their goals. And basically everything that you do in Odyssey is what creates the Templar Order.
Well, it's also a fascinating thought of, you know, we started off in the Crusades, and then we moved on to the Renaissance and the American Revolution, the French Revolution, etc., moving forward through time, through, you know, from the beginning. And then with Origins, we started going backwards. And with Origins, we learned about the origins of the Assassin Order, and then with Odyssey, giving the origins of the Templars. So it's an interesting thought process of we had our preconceptions about these orders, about these groups. And now that we're going into the past to the beginnings of them, now we get to see what their original goals were. And then we can see how far they've changed or how far their methods have come and maybe change our perceptions about both groups. And I think that's a fascinating way of looking at particularly how the timeline of the series has gone from chronological and release. And so now the games are forcing us to challenge our perceptions about these groups of people. And I think the first time they really did that was with 3. And they introduced Haytham, and we were running around and playing as him. And, oh, yeah, he's basically an assassin himself, this, that, and the other thing. And then the big reveal at the end of the prologue being that they were all Templars the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I honestly like 3. I really like Connor. I'm a sucker for Stoic characters, and I think he's a sweetheart.
At least for me.
Just got screwed, like, way too many times.
He should have been.
Yeah, for me, he should have been my guy. He should have been. But like for me, I'm not a Native American Indian. I'm Puerto Rican. But having a character that at least kind of resembles me. like growing up, like I was always teased for having long hair and being like, oh, you're an Indian. But like having a badass representation of that in the game,
I mean,
like,
he was honestly, badass. So cool. He just,
it's like,
know.
I never felt that. It's like, oh, this kind of sucks. Like, but I'd rather have been Haytham. I'd rather.
Like, I mean, they do give that interesting.
That's another thing.
Like,
that's
I've not played Rogue, but I remember reading about the main, you know, plot line is that Rogue, the guy, was initially an assassin, and he defected to the Templars, and you play the entire game as him being a Templar. And I might have to go into and look at that one because it would give you an entirely different perspective on why the Templars think what they're doing is right.
Yeah. Which I think that for part 3, that was a cool thing. Part 3 and Black Flag, which I guess would be part 4, that those were definitely interesting concepts of like seeing. Because like at the end, there is that choice. It's like, all right, let the world be destroyed or whatever, or save the world kind of thing with Desmond's decision. But it's like, the Templars were, they didn't want the world to end either. Like, they just wanted to do it their way. That's all it was. Yeah. It's like, we have our own solution. It's just a solution you guys don't like. That's all. But it's going to help people regardless. So yeah, I definitely want more of that.
Yeah. Odyssey really explains that a little bit better too, with their motivations.
Yeah. Cause I want them to be more than just like this company at this point. That's just like a monopoly of sorts. Like, you know what I feel like Abstergo is like when you're in the modern world? And granted, yes, I know I'm not playing the newer games, but I've been watching you play, Jen. And what I get from it is they're Disney.
They got their hand, you know, in the cookie
and they're
pot.
Just trying to take over.
Yeah, they've kind of got that vibe, you know, of like Disney or Google, like especially yeah, the way their know? Offices look.
Oh yeah, it's all white, like clean, yeah, modern, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, potentially like Amazon. Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where it's these giant mega corporations that, you know, start controlling everything. And it's like, where do you stop?
Yeah, because as Jen's been playing it, like they're doing more things. Yeah, I think when I was playing it, they were just what, in medical stuff, I think, at first. But as it progresses, like they're in medical, military, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like not in video games. It's like, wait, why is this medical place dealing with video games? I don't understand. But like they just like everything, any way they can get into people's minds, mm-hmm, and persuade them to think the way they want them to think, they're going to put their hands in that thing. And that's what I feel like they've become. And I feel like, well, there has to be more than that. What? Why would they want to do that?
I mean,
like, what, there's to be, has to be a bigger motivation.
That's the motivation, isn't it? It's the power.
The need to corrupt.
I mean, those pieces of Eden's mind control. Juno wanted you. Well, there's also a lot of manipulations on Juno's part. If you remember, like, her goal was, you know, yes, there's a giant solar flare that was going to wipe out the entire planet, but, you know, her goal is to also enslave and destroy humanity. So there was a lot of manipulation on that end. So
yeah, and I feel like they don't want that. Like, they want to keep on living. So, you know, like their motivation has to have something that's redeemable for us to want to side with them. You know what I mean? It's just the means is a means. It's kind of like, I feel like that they have to have this kind of debate where it's like you've seen like in Heroes, where it's like, oh, we can save the world if we kill like 10,000 people. It's like, what's better, 10,000 people or everybody dying? You know, like I feel like that has to be their viewpoint, and then that could be something that we can at least be on their side with. It can't just be like, we just want to take over and that's it. And for me, that's what it kind of feels like. It's just like they just want to take over right now. But I know there has to be more than that to make them a better villain.
Moral of the story.
And then I'll get that.
And it's
then
not get that. All your answers, but it does tie. It actually, there's a cinematic where it does tie in all of the games, and it gives you that information.
Good to know.
Okay.
Puts out checklist. Go get Odyssey.
Like, to be, in my honest opinion, I think you can skip Origin. It is fun. Right. It is beautiful being able to climb a fucking pyramid and all that. But
how do you jump off of the pyramid? Because you can't jump into the hay.
You actually slide. Like, if it's, you know, like, there's different kind of pyramids. Like,
you would just jump onto the pyramid if you were to jump.
There's different pyramids. You know, obviously, the one with two sides, and that's the one you slide down. But there are little divots, and I guess that would be for air inside or whatever. And that's, like, your grappling points if you want to just stop mid-slide. And as time, you know, things break and there's actually some destroyed parts, and that's where you can kind of grab on some more. The DLC is good, but it's not, you know, obviously necessary, but it is those worlds that they built, like going to Atlantis and Elysium, even fucking Hades, they're beautiful fucking worlds. And you get to see how tiny of a human you are, because those gods are like fucking 11 feet tall or some shit. So they tower over you.
I mean, those gods in God of War were pretty fucking massive, too.
That's true.
So by comparison, the Norse gods that they ended up showing were fucking tiny as shit.
I know I personally always have high hopes of where things can go, and I love the historical aspect of things. So there's always like, well, what's the next historical event they can try to dive into? What's a timeline you guys would like to see them try next? Jen?
I want to go to Japan.
Oh my god, I can't believe we're brain twinning.
You stole my answer.
Brain triplets, whatever time period with like shoguns and stuff. But yeah.
I was literally thinking Sengoku era.
Yeah.
That would be the perfect time period.
Yeah. feudalist period.
Because you've got all those historical people that, you know, they're all the warlords and, you know, they're people and, you know, they're all fighting against each other. So who's, you know, who could be potentially a Templar and who could potentially be an assassin, you know, or are you like a random ninja that's assigned to one of these warlords?
And what better, like, suited kind of warrior to be an assassin than a ninja? Like they are perfect.
Climbing for, shit. For it. Like, yeah.
All of the weapons, all their style, I mean, everything about it. It's like, yes, that is ninjas, an assassin.
They need to bring that guy back from the 90s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just to constantly yell, ninja vanish!
Is he still alive?
I don't know, but I hope, even if he's not, they need to
get the sound bite.
Literally, the first thing that popped in my head, and Laz will understand exactly what I'm talking about, is in Goku, where Sasuke goes, Kurvanish,
yeah,
when he disappears into the ceiling.
And that's funny just for us.
Yep. The only other one we I can think fun. Of, other than Sengoku era Japan, would be like Conquistador era South America. Because that's not really a place we've gone. Like, I know in Liberation, you kind of spend time in the Caribbean and you go into Mexico, and in Black Flag, you kind of just barely go into those areas. So the idea of being a native, like an Incan assassin, going up against, you know, whichever fucking conquistador was down there, I can't remember. I want to say Pizarro, but I don't think that's right. But that would also be an interesting area because we just haven't explored it. That, you know, we've done America, we've done a lot of places in Europe, we've done Egypt, and we've done the Middle East. But areas that we haven't focused on are like South America and India and Southeast Asia or Japan or Russia.
Sure.
It's like any one of those places I would be happy with.
I would like that. I think aesthetically that'd be really nice to see like that Incan architecture and everything. I mean, anything with like Incan, Mayan kind of stuff, like they all had pyramids too. And they had a whole lore behind it that would definitely lend itself very well to the mythology.
Ugh. The Amazon will fucking wreck you.
That's the other thing. The Amazon? The Amazon's a mystery to us today.
Like, I feel like that's when part three started introducing animals and bears and shit.
And the wolves.
The bears.
You could also pet bears. Dogs. That's something. If you introduce animals, you have to allow a petting mechanic.
They stopped that shit. I can't pet animals anymore. I'm sad about that. I was really excited about it, and now I'm like, I can't. Let me love an animal, except for the ones that want to kill me.
It's funny you bring it up because I was watching like a little recap. I think both me and Mike did this today where we watched recap videos going through the chronological order of the games and everything that happened. And that's something that got brought up by the narrator. They talked about petting dogs in part three and they're like, hey, you can finally pet dogs. Oh, what a great thing. You interacting with the dogs. It's like Unity comes in. And for some reason, they got rid of petting dogs.
Agreed.
If you're going to put a dog in front of me and not let me pet it, don't put the dog there.
Fire Emblem Three Houses is they have these animals sitting entirely around Garrick Mach and you can't pet them. And then they add in a mechanic of like, you can give them gifts, quote unquote. It's weird. Like, you can give these cats some fish. Kiki, shush. and it raises their, you know, their
speaking
their
of
affinity
dogs
for you or something, but you can't like actually pet them still.
That's rude.
And it's frustrating.
That's so rude.
Motherfucking
this game. Yeah.
I hate it. It makes me sad. Let me pet the doggies.
Which in turn that would actually be a cool addition to the game. If you could have an animal sidekick.
The eagles.
Yeah, but it's gonna be crows now or ravens.
It's ravens, probably gonna be ravens the because eagles, of the mythology of Odin. Because he had a pair of ravens called Hunin and Munin that were his eyes and ears, basically.
Which is really cool. Actually, I guess in Odyssey, you actually get to control
the eagle.
Origin. Are you actually able to use the eagle
fly around? You can actually like summon it to attack.
Like a recon too, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like an extension of, it's literally eagle vision because you're seeing through its eyes.
Yeah.
You should just play the game again.
Like, so I guess all the things I want are actually happening now, huh? I should just play the game again. But I kind of want a wolf. That's what I want. I don't want an eagle. Can I have a wolf instead?
Yo.
That would be cool.
Yeah, Halle Berry's dogs. I guess because,
like, Mike, you brought
up John Wick. Oh, my God. John they're Wick such 4. Good babies.
Like, those dogs were dope as fuck. I was like, I want some dogs.
Just that one look like he shot my dog.
That's what we need. We need our modern day
heroes. I want John Wick Assassin's Creed.
One else is on fire. That would just fix everything.
It would.
You hear that, Ubisoft? Just make John Wick our modern person. That's all we need.
Yeah.
It's too bad Keanu Reeves already got picked off by CD Projekt Red for 2077.
Right. But, you know, we can.
Yeah.
I will take it.
It doesn't have to look like Keanu. I mean,
I'm okay with that. I'll take that. Yeah. Just do some John Wick shit. That's all.
I mean, I was going to go.
So, Mike, what timeline
Japan would route you like too, to see? But since all three of you went there, I started thinking about going like Mongolian China. So something like that.
Getting involved with Genghis Khan would be interesting. Yeah. And then like Marco Polo, which would tie into two with Ezio.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Especially if you can try to make Genghis Khan somewhat relatable and kind of good. Like if there was a purpose behind everything he did. Because that's definitely another person, just like how it is for the Vikings. He's seen in only one light. There's never a nice tale of what he did, you know? So like to and put it on the other side of the spectrum, it's like, well, maybe there was a reason.
Technically canon,
like, maybe
there's Genghis a good Khan thing we can was see assassinated by an assassin. Because I only remember this because I recently been playing a little bit of Assassin's Creed 2 just to refresh my memory. If you go down in that catacomb-ish area where Altair's armor is, there's that list of there's six assassins in there. One of them is Aya, who killed, spoilers, Cleopatra with poison. And she's given a different name in there, but it's still the same person because I definitely looked it up. And there's one of those assassins who actually killed Genghis Khan.
Oh.
In that little area. So that's another potential way they could actually go.
Look at that. I haven't played the game in a long time and I'm already bringing shit back.
I did a lot of research coming into this. See,
but I think that's another cool thing about this game. It's like there's so many layers of little nuggets that they put into, like, they jam pack these games. Like super, even the games that I didn't want to touch, like I know they just fill it with so many little things of
building and city
history and mythology that you don't even like touch.
Kids getting lost in Italy, in Rome, on field trips, and then just looking around like, oh, I know where we're going now. How do you know this? Have you ever been here, Rick? No, I just played Assassin's Creed a lot.
And they say video games are not educational.
And then same thing with when Notre Dame was burning, they ended up hiring the developers for Assassin's Creed because they put so much detail in
the
church.
They did 3D scam, didn't they?
Yeah, for the gaming. So they brought them back in there so they could recreate all of the architecture because like they put so much detail into a lot of the aspects of it.
And that's another thing. It's like one of the other things that I remember hearing about. This was back when I was in college and in my history classes. And one of my professors actually brought up the fact that the historians working with the people for Assassin's Creed 3 they had to tell the creators, the art people, listen, Boston was brown. You can't really add a lot more color than that, because if you want it to be historically accurate, they built shit out of wood and stone. It was brown and it was gray. So if you can add color in other ways, that's great. But that's exactly how it looked. And that's another thing is there's, you know, I've gone to like particularly medieval history seminars before. And one of those specific meetings that I went to was about how historians are getting involved in video games and the accuracy that's happening in building these places and, you know, figuring out the cultures. Like, that's one of the things that I think Assassin's Creed, that Dragon Age, and, you know, I think Diablo was also specifically brought up. And all of these things, they're involving historians because they want that accuracy. They want to help people get interested in learning. Like George said, you know, he's like, this is the first time I ever actually wanted to read books about history, you know? And if you can get people interested that way, that's a good way to keep people interested and keep people feeling like they need to know more about history, because I'm a very much of the belief that whenever you see something that's happened in the past, it's going to happen in the future unless we learn from it.
Without a doubt.
I mean, right now, could it be a better example of, you know, going through the quarantine with the whole COVID thing? It's like people have experienced plagues over and over again through history.
I feel like we should have another talk after Valhalla comes out, and then we can talk about our reception to it.
Agreed.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
And we'll see if the three of us have actually played Odyssey since then.
I mean, it's $20. I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Yay.
In any case, wrap up time. So thank you guys for joining us. It was so good to express these thoughts with fellow people who not only appreciate the game, but also appreciate the nerd side of it, which is the history.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for letting me out and be weird.
Is there any place that people can follow you guys on social media?
Rich? I'll go first. I'm mostly active on Twitter and Tumblr. Twitter, I am horny on main under singergirl91. That's G-U-R-L 91. But I have a semi-professional Twitter for my writing that I don't really use that much under Raewyn Creates, and it's RaewynnCreates. My current Tumblr.
Mike?
So I have Twitter, which is just mcandelette, which is mcandelet. And then Instagram is the same thing, just add 86 at the end of it.
And you and the guys have been working on stuff too, right?
We got two shorts and or two episodes of our Undiscovered Mysteries series that we just finished filming today. So those will be out soon. So you can check that out. What is it? It's the YouTube channel is Too High McFly Productions, or it might just be Too High McFly. I don't know.
I think it's actually just Too High McFly.
Yeah. I don't follow.
If anyone hasn't checked that out yet, you really should, especially the Undiscovered Discoveries, right?
Undiscovered Mysteries.
Mysteries, sorry. It's because I do enjoy the show. Like it has that whole play of like unsolved mysteries, but with supernatural stuff, and it feels like you're watching like something from the 80s. Everything from like the look 70s, and the sound.
70s.
But there's an 80s feel to it too, though, man. Like with some of those sound effects and the look of it, I think the 70s is his getup. Like he's wearing a turtleneck and everything with like that tweed sports coat of sorts. It's a fucking great time. I love it.
Yeah,
I've been waiting for an episode for a while.
Yeah, we got two episodes of that out now, and we just finished two more, and we got a third one that we just got to coordinate with one of the other guys to come over, but everything's in curfew right now, so that's not
happening. I'll put a link in the bio so people can check it out. Before I hop into ours, I wanted to also just double check something. Rach,
yes,
are you the same one that we've talked about that likes to do like silly readings of fan fiction?
Yes.
I'm okay. The one who read the, let's see, there was the Shark Merman fic. There was the Lumberjack Gladio one with the turkey. There was also the Viking Gladio one that I was ripping to shreds because the bitch who wrote it is from the Netherlands. And I'm like, bitch, that is your people. You are insulting them. So, yes, that is me. I like to do salty fanfic readings of people who should not write fanfiction.
Okay. I think in the future I want to plan something where we could do something together.
Oh boy. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Especially knowing that you have like a voiceover mic, which means you do some kind of voiceover stuff. So that means
mostly you can do amateur, some fun things. But yeah.
Hey, it's something. All right. I'm not a professional. Yeah. I look for that eventually someday. I think we're gonna do something really cool. I could see something cool happening in the future. In any case, Jen, where can they follow you?
I'm Lazarus Trash Pit on Twitter and Instagram.
And I am Nikolopoulos on Instagram and Twitter. That's Nikolopoulos. And of course, you can follow Beaver Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, practically everywhere. We are the top search on Google if you look for Beaver Rodeo.
Yay. That Yay. Is surprising because I'm sure a whole lot of other shit could have popped up.
We weren't at first. It took like a week or two. But in the beginning, like if you type in Beaver Rodeo, you found rodeos and some guy who is named like Robert Beaver or whatever, who like does stuff with rodeos.
Oh.
Like he has like a podcast about rodeo stuff.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But after like 2 weeks, we became the top thing.
That's not bad. Like 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah. I populated the fuck out of the fucking internet with our stuff. I was just like everywhere in social media. Everything. I worked hard.
Yeah.
But if you also want to support Beaver Rodeo any which way you can hop over to our artist shop on Threadless, which is Nekolaz, which is Nekolaz. And you can get a bunch of Beaver Rodeo merch.
The t-shirts are comfy.
I was like, you have one of the shirts. Yes. How is it?
I like it. I'm obviously I'm a big girl. So I got the 2X in the female V-cut, the V-neck. And it's a little bit too small for me. So if you're a pretty big girl like me, definitely go for probably a man's shirt. Hopefully they'd have a V-neck because I don't like being choked. But yeah, it's super comfy. It's a really good quality shirt.
Yay.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Adopt a fat beaver.
Yes. I love the fat beaver. So cute.
Yeah, I think we've put it on a lot of options. That's the cool thing about Threadless. Especially right now, if you guys are out there and you're a creative type and you're looking to create some kind of extra money, some kind of extra revenue, Threadless is a place you can go to where you can create an artist shop, you can create your little designs, and you can put it on almost anything, like t-shirts, mugs, throw pillows, fucking phone cases, backpacks, skateboards. Like it's ridiculous how many options of things you can put your designs on. And they make it so easy and simple, and there's no cost to you. All you do is make money. That's it. So definitely worth checking out. And like I said, check out our shop and you can help keep this little couple alive.
Feed me.
Until next time, keep it slapping.
Meow.
What are you doing? Looking for beavers.
Real beavers. Beavers.
Woo, all right.
Oh, I feel like a power in it.
Hey, you see that?
My dick's asleep.